I mean that with all my heart. I've enjoyed it tremendously. I'm glad I pushed myself a little bit out of my comfort zone and attended. And the Lord has blessed me because of it, I think. And appreciate so much. I want to say thank you to the church, to the pastor, of course, for the invitation, the opportunity to be here and to listen and to be encouraged and to be blessed. I'd like an 8x10 glossy of that, and if you Photoshop it, a little more hair and a little less weight. I've been waiting to say that for the whole conference. But I do appreciate this church. You know, I love all the Lord's churches, and we should because the Lord loves them. Yeah. But there are some churches where you go to that you just feel an immediate comfort being at home. And I consider this church one of those churches. I love coming here. I love the people. I feel the great encouragement and the sincerity in their words and prayers. And so we just really appreciate that. Appreciate the message. And I'm not going to give you the title right off the bat. I'll probably forget and won't give it to you at all. But you may figure it out. But Brother Works presented to us the enemy. And he's a mighty foe. And we're not to be lighthearted about it as we approach him in battle. We understand how strong he is and what an influence that he has in our churches and in our individual lives. The first part of my message, I want to present to you my God. Because I don't really care how powerful my enemy is, amen. My God is more powerful. Amen. And I want to bring that to the main thought in a little bit. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 95. I believe there's a sense where we become familiar with God. I've gotten on a few websites in the past, Jewish believers' websites, and I've noticed that when they write the name God, they write it G_D. They don't write the whole name out. They don't feel worthy to write that name out. I understand that they don't feel worthy to speak the name of God because they have such admiration for him and such reverence for him. And I believe that we become almost too familiar. We hear the name God. We use the name God frequently. We hear people mention God, and it doesn't do anything for us. It doesn't do anything to us. We don't feel an awe of reverence like we maybe did at one time. We just hear it. We say it. We say Jesus, and just to say that name ought to just come off our tongue with just such admiration and such deep love. Jesus, my Lord, my Savior. But we just throw it out there. And we should talk about our God. We should talk about our Savior, but we should not become too familiar with him that we forget who he is. He's a great God. And we have a great enemy. I'm thankful we have a greater God, aren't you? And so let's look here at chapter 95. We'll look at the first 7 verses. Oh, come and let us sing unto the Lord, and let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. My God is an awesome God. He's a mighty God. And we've become so familiar with him, we've forgotten that. And it affects us in our daily walk in life. And the challenges that we face, we've heard a lot about challenges in our practical messages of application of the Word of God in our daily lives. And we've forgotten that we have a mighty God looking over us and watching us. He says, in his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. He's not just God, he's our God. And we can take that even more personal. He's my God. My God is an awesome God. He's a powerful, mighty God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we will hear his voice. In chapter 96, if you go down, you can read the first few verses that declare to us that we ought to sing unto him. And then in verse 4, it says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. We have a great God, folks. And I'm afraid that we've either become complacent about it, we've become too familiar, or that we've forgotten. That in that very aspect of forgetting who God is, it causes us to be anxious many times in our daily life. As if we don't have any help. From whence cometh my help? From the world? From our government? From our friend? From our doctor? From whence cometh our help? From God, the great and mighty God. Psalms 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." He's not just great, he's exceedingly great. We can't describe the greatness of God. He's made all that we see in around about us and on this earth and in the universe. He's made it all. He's made the hidden world that we can't see, that man can't even see with some of the most powerful microscopes. He's made all of that for his purpose, for a divine purpose. And if that's our God, and it is, then why would we fret? And why would we worry? Because we've become familiar with him and forgotten who he is. Look at Jeremiah chapter 32. Just read verse 17. Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power, by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." There's a lot of things, God, that's not too hard for you. There's many things that's not too hard for you, but, you know, this, what I'm going through is pretty serious. Isn't that how we think? There's nothing. Nothing too hard for God. You may be going through something right now, and probably are. Everyone has issues in their lives. Physical, emotional, financial, spiritual. But there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. You can come. Maybe you're here and lost. God can save you. He can save you. He can bring you to a place in your heart where you see your sin, you realize that you're lost and undone and deserving of all the punishment that he could pour upon you. But he reveals his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. He sends his Holy Spirit to you to quicken you, to make you alive, and grant you repentance to exercise towards your sinfulness and faith to believe in him and save your soul eternally. This very moment, right where you're at, you don't have to walk. There's no magic in this aisle. Not a bit. There's no altar up here for you to come to. Right where you're sitting, right now, you can be saved. Right now. Because he's a great God. He's not restricted, is he, by place or time or by the extent of a person's ungodliness. Paul said he was the greatest of sinners, and the Lord saved him. And we're great sinners. And if we're saved, we're saved because our great God is greater. In verse 27 of chapter 32... he says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And that's a question we all ask ourselves. Is there anything too hard for God that I'm going through, that I might go through in my life that's too hard for God to deal with? Is there anything? Anything. Anything too hard for God? Nothing. Job chapter 42 and verse 2 says, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." That's my God. If you're saved, that's your God. Now, we have an enemy, and he's great, but my God is greater. And all the weapons that are at the disposal of my enemy, God can put them down. And sometimes God can use them in our lives to accomplish a purpose, his purpose for us. Ultimately, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. We might not understand it, but if we believe that he's almighty, then he can do anything. There's nothing impossible for him. Then why? Here's the title of the message. Here's the question to ask. Then why don't we trust him? No matter what it is. Why don't you trust him? You're afraid to get on an airplane? Why don't you trust him? My mom used to say that's the reason she wouldn't come and visit. And I'd tell her, I said, well, Mom, you know, more people die on the road than they do in airplanes. That didn't matter. I wasn't giving her any comfort. So then I would tell her, I'd say, well, Mom, you know, God is able. And if he wants to take you home, he can take you home right from the house. He doesn't need an airplane to take you home, you know. And I tried all the logic, and none of it ever worked. But the truth of it is there. Nothing's going to happen to you that God doesn't bring into your life for a purpose. And God is mighty and powerful to protect you in any circumstance in your life. But we don't really trust him that way. At least many times we don't. We have some trust at some times. Sometimes it may be really a mighty trust and a powerful trust. But it seems like there's something else comes up. Satan throws something else at us. And he knows our weak spot. He will attack me with something that he won't bother with you because you'll just put that down. Because you trust God in that area of your life. But what about other areas of your life? Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Every year I ask the church at 12 Ryan to pick out a verse that has touched their heart through their Bible reading and Bible study, and to write that verse out and hang it on the mirror, hang it on the refrigerator, somewhere what they see frequently, and let that verse speak to them, or verses speak to them throughout the year. And I also will suggest that maybe they'll have a life verse, a verse that they've picked out for their life. Maybe you have one. Maybe you have a verse in the Bible that has just touched your heart and it affects you. Every time you read it, it draws you closer to God. It lifts you up. It encourages you, whatever it might be. And maybe you have a verse like that. And my wife's verse was Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. That was my wife's life verse. That's the one that she had chosen. And you know what it says? It says, trust in the Lord. Now, we exercise trust all the time. We put our money in a bank trusting that it'll be there when we want to take it out, right? We put it into an investment. We come in here into this church with these beautiful pews, and we sit down trusting they'll hold us. We start our car trusting it'll start. We trust our government. We trust the Republican Party. Well, maybe we used to. But we vote, and you know, we think they're going to bail us out. They're going to help us. You know, we trust in our doctor. We go to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Well, you've got this or that. Take this pill, you'll be better." We go home, buy the pill, spend $500, and take it. We don't have a clue what we're taking. You know, now some people get into reading all that stuff. I don't, because it scares me to death. Every pill kills you. You know, I mean, it's like it's going to cure you from this, but you're going to have everything else in the world. You know. But we exercise trust all the time. Here he says, trust in the Lord because he's a mighty God. And nothing's impossible for him. He can do anything. God can do anything, anything God can do for us because he's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. But we've forgotten or we've become too familiar. We hear it preached. We read it. And it doesn't penetrate us. We serve a living God. He's a powerful God. Just a mention of his name. When they came out to arrest Jesus in the garden before his crucifixion, and Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." And they fell back. You know, just his name knocked them down. He was given a name that's exalted above all other names, and at his name every knee shall bow. Because he's a mighty God. He says, trust in the Lord most of the time and you'll be all right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's a few all yours in the Bible. You want to love the Lord with all of our heart. We're to serve him all with all of our heart. Have faith in him, all of our heart. We're to give all of our... But we can't do that because our heart's so occupied with so many other things. There are so many things in the world competing for our heart, our life, our very being. But we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. That means completely give over to him. Have complete confidence in God in every situation. In every situation. And there's reasons that's why that's so important that we'll look at in just a little bit. But we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. In the Lord. Psalms 118:8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Boy, that's true, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 1:9 says, but we had this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. We shouldn't trust in any man, and we definitely shouldn't trust in ourselves. Should we? The heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, if I know my heart, you don't. You don't know it good enough. You may know it to some degree. But we ought not to trust in man, any man, including ourselves. We ought to trust in God. When we have an issue, who should we run to? We should run to God. We should fall on our face before Him. We've heard messages about kneeling before Him and falling on our face before Him. And there's reason for that, because He is a mighty God and greatly to be praised. He's to be revered and feared. Come before Him with trembling and present our petition to Him to help us in whatever need it is. Because we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in a time of need, can't we? No matter what it is. Well, what about... Got it covered. Well, it's covered. No matter what it is, He will either bring you through it or He'll heal you from it. Right? No matter what it is. He'll give you the grace. Paul said, His grace is sufficient for me. No matter what it is, He'll give you the grace you need at that time. Well, I don't see that grace right now. Well, you don't need that grace right now. But when you need it, it'll be there. Trust Him. He said so. Some of the attributes that God reveals Himself, His character through the Bible, is His omniscience. He knows everything. Amen. All the time. Amen. It's both convicting and comforting. It's convicting because God knows. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows if your heart's somewhere else. He knows if you wish a preacher would hurry up and quit so you could leave. Get some rest before tonight. Get some dinner. You know. But it's also comforting because God knows. No matter what you're going through, God knows. No matter what you're dealing with, God knows. Isn't that comforting? We don't have a high priest that hasn't been touched by our infirmities, but in all ways like we, but without sin. He understands. He knows. Chapter 118, verse 9 said, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes. We ought to trust in Him instead of our government. I mean, we ought to vote because it's the patriotic thing to do, and we ought to vote biblically, biblical principles, as best we can. This last election, people asked me who I voted for, and I said, well, I voted against. I voted against Hillary Clinton. You know, I voted for Trump, but I was voting against Clinton. I'm not crazy about Trump. I think he's done some good things, but I'm not crazy about him. And I don't put my trust in him. Not for a minute. Or any other Republican candidate. Not the Republican Party. My trust is in God, who turns the hearts of the kings in His hand. He's the one that will accomplish the things that we need in this country, or He may pour His wrath out on us. Judgment begins at home in the house of God, doesn't it? We deserve it because of how we failed to carry the word out to the world. We're good in here at these conferences to enjoy the preaching, to get excited, but we don't take it out there where they need it. We let our light shine so bright in here, boy, we're happy, we're joyful, but we leave these doors and we leave our light in here many times because we don't trust God. We're fearful of man, what they'll say, what they'll do. Where's our trust in our great God? Look at chapter 37 of Psalms. Begin reading in verse 3. Well, let's just start at verse 1. Psalms chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Well, if I do that, I'm going to be persecuted. The Bible says all that live godly shall suffer persecution. It's a certainty. If you do good and live a good life before the world, you will suffer persecution. But God will bring you through it. And isn't it a great thing to suffer for Christ's sake? Isn't that a great thing if we suffer for Him? Because we're standing as a Christian and people know that we're standing for Him and we're living for Him. If we suffer for that reason, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In other words, provided for, taken care of. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. To delight in the Lord. I think there's been a lot of delight this week, don't you? Coming here, hearing our God honored and glorified, exalted, proclaimed, encouraged coming through the preaching. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust also in him. Trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's a song, Like a River Glorious, that says, every joy or trial falleth from above. God's not surprised. He's not taken back. Boy, I messed up on that one. No. No. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither is there any turning. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's with us through the trial. He goes with us through the fire, through the flood. He's always there. He's all-powerful. There's nothing that he cannot do. He can do anything. He's immutable. He never changes. Amen. The same God of the great men and women of faith who gave their life and were burnt at the stakes and had their eyes burned out and their tongues cut out for being a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, that same God that enabled them to suffer that is the same God we have today to be with us. He's a great God. He says, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love, we may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Not if you partly trust him, half-heartedly trust him, but if you trust him wholly, you'll find him wholly true. What he says, he will accomplish. July the 15th, 1859, in that area, there was a man named Blondin. He was an acrobat. Many of you have probably heard the story. He walked across Niagara Falls on a tightrope and done many different things. If you read about some of the things he did, you talk about some fairy tales. I was thinking about Brother Work's message, and when I go back to my church and he asks me what I heard at church, I'm going to say, well, I heard some fairy tales. You know. Yeah. That's going to be an interesting conversation, isn't it? Provoke their interest, though, won't it? Maybe they'll come next time. But this man did a lot of great things, and some of it, you know how a legend is. They kind of grow with the time, you know. But it is said that he walked across Niagara Falls on a tightrope pushing a wheelbarrow. And he pushes this wheelbarrow all the way across Niagara Falls. And if you've ever been there before, it's one of God's glorious creations. Demonstration of the power of God. You stand there and you have to be in awe of God. At the power that is in that waterfalls. So then he comes back and everybody's cheering. And they're shouting and they're clapping their hands and they're excited. And they're saying, do it again, do it again. And he says, you think I can do it again? Yeah, we. Do you know I can do it again? Yeah, we know you can do it again. Then he says, get in the wheelbarrow. And it is said that nobody got in. But isn't that the way we are? We say, look, God, we trust you in all things. He says, get in the wheelbarrow. But we, no. I don't trust you for that, you know. That's what we do. Isaiah 26:4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. It never changes. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Don't trust in your riches. They can be gone in a snap. Don't think that's not possible. Look how we've changed just in the past few years. Look at some of the countries and some of the change in the finances in some of these countries. Don't think that you won't wake up some morning and your money be devalued. And this $100,000 that you thought you had for retirement is now worth about $5,000. And if that's where you put your trust, you're going to be brokenhearted. Like they were back during the Dark Depression, where many people took their lives because they had their trust in their money. Don't trust in riches. Trust in the Lord and cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. He cares for you. See, you need to understand, not only is God almighty and all-powerful with everlasting strength that never changes, that God cares for me. He cares for me so much that he gave his son to die on the cross of Calvary for this worthless sinner. That's how much he cared for me. And that's how much he cared. You don't think there's anything else that God would do for you? If he gave himself, do you think he would withhold anything else from you that would be for your good? Psalms 119:42 says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. How do we know about this great and mighty God that we can trust in? Trust in his word. His infallible, perfect word. Trust in it. Run to God's word to hear from God the answer that you seek. Job said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even if he slays me, I will trust him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before Nebuchadnezzar, and he declaring that they need to bow down to him. And they demonstrated their trust for God. They said, no, we're not going to bow down. And if you cast us into that furnace that's heated 7 times hotter than it ought to be, our God can deliver us from that. And if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down to you. Because they trusted God. And we'll trust God up to a certain point, and then we'll all of a sudden say, well, you know, maybe I'm pushing my luck too far. You know. Trust him everything. All the time. Trust God. First of all, when you trust God that way, there's no fear in trust. If you're trusting God, you won't fear. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, David facing Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den, they showed no fear. How could they come before that life-threatening situation and have no fear? Look at Psalms chapter 46. The psalmist writes here, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. He's never far away. Amen. He's as close as the mention of his name. No matter what time, no matter what situation, he's there. Amen. He's that close. And he's able. God is able, isn't he? He says, therefore, because of this, will we not fear? Not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, we will not fear. Because trust casts out fear. If you truly trust God to this degree, and understand that he is a mighty God, greatly to be praised, and that he can do anything, and nothing can be withheld from him, then why would you fear? God is watching over me. And if God allows me to go through this, we know that God does all things for our good. So there's a good reason. There's a good thing going on here. Of course, ultimately, it's for us to be conformed to the image of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, as he burns off the dross and the things in our life that distract us from him. But that's ultimately for our good, isn't it? To become like Jesus Christ. If you're trusting him, you won't worry. Philippians chapter 4, be anxious of nothing, but with prayer and supplication, let your prayers be known with thanksgiving. We have a tendency to forget to be thankful. But don't worry. Don't worry, be happy. I don't know if the guy who thought of that little jingle really believed that or not, but we as Christians can believe that. Don't worry. God is in charge. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. If you trust him, you won't. And if we don't trust him, there's only one reason we won't trust him, is because we really don't believe that he's that mighty. We've become too familiar with him. We've forgotten that he is a great, exceedingly great and powerful God. And therefore we worry and fret and become fearful. Trust brings confidence. God commands us in his word to do something. God calls a young man to preach, a young lady to be have a desire to maybe marry a preacher or to marry a missionary. And God puts that upon their hearts. And boy, it seems like a great challenge that they're going to have to face. But Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. We can be confident. If he calls you to it, he'll bring you through it. Amen. He will. He'll never call you to anything in life that he won't enable you to bear up under it or to bring you through it in great victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even what? Our faith, which is a root word, the same root word that we get trust and believing. That's the victory that we have. If you trust the Lord and he brings you into a certain situation in life, you won't murmur. God brings us to a place in our life where we don't really want to be there, right? Physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, in relationships, whatever it is. And we pray to God and we say, Lord, I believe in you. I trust you. I have confidence that you can do all things and all that you do is good. And Lord, I'm just turning my life over to you. And then God takes our life and he brings it into a certain place and we murmur. And we complain, like the children of Israel. He brought them out of bondage because they prayed to be delivered. And then they murmured and complained when all they needed to do was trust him to bring them through it to the promised land. Trust in the Lord brings great peace. When you're going through a challenge, maybe it's a family problem, and nothing can get us faster than family issues and family problems. And we find very quickly that we're very limited to what we can do. We do the best we can, but we're limited to what we can do. So we run to our Lord and our Savior, and we cry out to him, oh, Father, help me. Protect my child. Bring my wife through this. Bring my husband through this. May you have a loved one overseas in the military in on a battle zone, and your heart's heavy for him all the time, and you're praying for him. But then you realize that my God is there because he's omnipresent. And he's all-powerful, and I know my God can protect him. And you have that trust in him, and a peace just comes over you. Because God is watching over my loved one. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe, trust in him. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Be at peace. We have great confidence. Psalm 56:3 says, what time I'm afraid. And we become afraid. We're human. We're finite. We're weak. We become fearful. But the psalmist says, what time I become afraid, I will trust in thee. And that'll bring a calmness over you. It'll bring a peace over you that passes all understanding. I believe that if you trust the Lord, you'll be obedient to the Lord. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. What's he commanding you to do through his word? What's he teaching you to do? What's he calling you to do? Well, I trust him, then obey him. Obedience is an evidence of trust. It's an outworking of trust. If you trust him, you'll obey him. You may not understand what the Lord is doing. You know, our missionaries, they exercise that all the time. When a missionary is called to a foreign field, and many of them go out there without debitation work, and they just trust in God to provide, and they don't know how they're going to live over there. They don't know the country. They know a little bit on the surface about the country and its society and different things, but they really don't know what they're getting into. They just trust the Lord. And they obey him, and they go to that calling. That's true with us as we surrender to preach, isn't it? Or that we surrender to take on a church and to pastor. We have to trust the Lord to be obedient to him and then do what he tells us to do. Trusting in the Lord in this sense involves a lot of patience. That's my weak spot, patience. I don't have a lot of patience. But if you're really trusting the Lord, you've got to be patient. Oh, Father, I know that you're almighty. You're an awesome God. You can do anything, anytime, any way you choose. And, Father, I have this great need in my heart. Father, will you please bless me today, right now? Isn't that the way we pray?
That's right.
Instead of just taking it to him and laying it at his feet and then going away saying, God's going to take care of it. Just be patient. It takes patience to demonstrate and exercise that kind of faith in that mighty God that we say we believe in. Sometimes trust requires us to be courageous, to step out against all odds. Logically, they don't seem to fit, but we step out because we trust God to bring us through it. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his step. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all in your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is another area that interferes with us trusting the Lord, because we start trying to dissect it. We start trying to rationalize what the Lord wants us to do or what the Lord is leading us to. And we start leaning on our own understanding. But it's not for us to direct our path. Our path is directed by a sovereign God who knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. And we're to trust in Him and His direction in our life. Then he says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. I think that if we truly trust in Him and we truly hold Him to be an almighty God, an awesome God, a great God, exceedingly great God, then we ought to acknowledge that. I think Brother Hugin made the comment, the redeemed of the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If we really believe in Him, we should be saying so. We ought to acknowledge Him. My God is a mighty God. Why can you be happy and go through this in your life? How can you deal with this situation in your life and still have a sense of joy and peace? Not peace, you know, without conflict, but the peace in the midst of conflict. How can you do that? Well, let me tell you about my God. My God is a mighty God. It's not me, it's God. It's God that enables us to do those things. We ought to acknowledge Him with thanksgiving. We ask God for many things, probably almost every day. We pray for some small things that seem to be insignificant. We pray for some great things, but that's not a problem because God is greater. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You know, God's greater than all of our sin. God's greater than all of our needs. And we pray for God for that need, whatever that need might be. And God, in His marvelous grace and mercy, answers our prayer in the way that we want. God always answers our prayer. Always. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes He says, wait a while, be patient. And sometimes He says, okay. Okay. And He gives us that great desire of our heart, and we never return to Him to say, thanks, Lord. How many times have you prayed to God, and God's given you your petition, and maybe it's been down the road a little while, you know, and you've almost forgot that you even asked God for it, and you never go back to thank Him and to acknowledge that that gift came from God? Didn't Moses warn Israel when they came into the promised land, don't forget how you got here, that you didn't build these houses, dig these wells, plant these vineyards, that God brought all this about? Don't forget that and say, by my power, of my might, I did these things. Amen. You better acknowledge God gave that to you.
Amen.
You go to work and you make a paycheck and you pay your bills and you buy your cars and your smartphones and all these different things. You better acknowledge God gave that. Well, did God give it to me? I worked for it. God gave you the power to work for that. God gave you the job that paid you to do that.
Amen.
He gave you the ability to go to that job every day. You better acknowledge God if you trust Him. We ought to be mindful all the time of every situation in our life of who our God is. We ought to acknowledge that He is a mighty God. Because if we forget that for a moment, we won't trust Him. If we become too familiar with God and bring Him down to our level, we won't trust Him. He's no better than we are. He's no different than we are if we do that. But if we are mindful all the time that He is a great and mighty God, then we will acknowledge that and we will trust Him. And it says, and He will direct thy path. I thought of Psalms 23 with this part of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 7. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Just stop for a moment. Who's your shepherd? The Lord. Doesn't that say it all? Who's the one that's going to protect you, provide for you, lead you, direct you? The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, we understand that that word want there means need, suffer need. We want all the time. And God's so gracious, He even gives us some of our wants. Isn't He a gracious and good God? But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He does that. He leads me. If you will acknowledge him, if you will trust him with all your heart, he'll lead you in the path that you ought to go. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Now, I read it this way. If I wanted to direct Brother Works to go over there, I could, you know, move my eyes over. And if he knew me, if he knew what we'd been talking or something, then he would understand and he'd go over there just by watching my eyes. But you have to be close to see that. You can't see that way back there. You see, that means God is close to us all the time. He'll direct us with his eyes. We just need to be looking into his lovely face. And he'll direct us with his eyes. That close to talks about that proximity. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, when ye turn to the left. Always, in all your situations, be mindful of God, so that when he directs you to the right or to the left, you hear his voice doing the directing, so that you'll be in the place that he wants you to be. In 1876, Edgar Seitz penned the song, Trusting Jesus. Very fitting song for the message, I think. Read the words to this in closing. Simply trusting every day. Trusting through the stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly does the Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While he leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if my path is drear. If in danger, for him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting him while life shall last, trusting him till earth shall pass. Then within the jasper walls, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by. Trusting him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brother. Amen.